earlier, or just a few minutes ago, you heard the scripture lesson, the traditional scripture lesson for Pentecost Sunday from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read another Pentecost passage for you from the fourth gospel, the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. And as I read these words, think Pentecost. Think Spirit of God and the beginning of the community. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, I want to read one more passage out of the scripture for you before I say anything else. And it's from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And it's appropriate for today. And I'm just going to read two verses from chapter 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one spirit." Friends, this is the metaphor of metaphors that we're dealing with. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. We talk about it all the time. In fact, it's part of, or really it is our mission statement as we talk about. We exist to be the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. In fact, in some ways it even goes beyond a metaphor. And for Paul, it was a kind of a mystical term that was used. And by this, I mean that somehow you literally are the body of Christ. It's not just illustrative. It's not just something we put in the promotional material. It's not a simile, you are like the body of Christ. No, somehow you are the body of Christ, literally. Wow. Do you ever wake up in the morning and just say that to yourself? You ever just get up in the morning and you say, "I am part of the body of Christ"? You ever do that? No way. You never do that. I never do that. But maybe we should. What if you did? What if you just said, I'm part of the body of Christ. God is going to touch the world through me today. What if you said that every single morning? That might change your life. It might change the world. Okay, hold that thought. Okay, I know we've talked about this idea time and time again, but indulge me for a few minutes. Also in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses this metaphor of the body of Christ to take it a little bit further and discuss the idea of spiritual gifts. He writes, "To one is given the spirit of the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy," and on and on he goes. He says this is the way the body of Christ is. There's all sorts of parts of the body. We do different things. We have different ministries. And as you listen to this, it can be a little bit intimidating. You know, the gift of the utterance of knowledge. That's impressive. Bob's got that. That's impressive. The utterance of knowledge. Okay, to continue the body metaphor, that's a major body system, right? You know, you've got the brains, you got the backbone, you got the heart, you got the, you know, all the different parts. You know, and so it's useful metaphor for us as we kind of reflect on how the body of Christ is expressed here at Pleasant Grove. And we can all think of those folks, like I think of Bob, that represent these big gifts, people who represent big things. But my guess is that most of us, Bob included, would probably not list himself that way, and you wouldn't list yourself that way. You wouldn't say, I am the utterance of knowledge. You wouldn't tend to do that. No, you might be a little bit reserved, maybe would be the right thing. Maybe you not presume to do that. No, you might choose something a little less prominent. Maybe you would say, you know, I'm the appendix. I'm the appendix of the body of Christ. That wouldn't be bad, would it? You know, you say, I'm here, but it doesn't really matter. You know, if I'm here, it's okay. If I'm not here, it's okay. I'm just the body of Christ. I'm just the appendix of the body of Christ. Maybe that's it. Well, if you're like that, that's incredibly sad to me. That's incredibly sad because everyone here is a critical part of the ministry of the body of Christ at Pleasant Grove. Every single one. It's your first Sunday here. That doesn't matter. Today, you're a critical part of the body of Christ. It's sad to me that we tend to write that off. You know, oh, we can't do that. We're not like that. Of course, we have different gifts. We have different graces and different interests that unfold in the community of faith in different ways. But the bottom line is, we are the body of Christ. Okay. Now, I don't remember this, but I have been told that there was a time when cars did not come equipped with air conditioning. I've been told that. Is there anybody here that can ever remember a car not having air conditioning in it? Air conditioning. Oh, I wish I was as old as that. Okay, just forget it. Moving on. It was considered optional equipment up until just a few years ago. If you went and you looked at it, oh, air conditioning's an option. It obviously was not the South they were talking about. Air conditioning is not optional equipment. The body of Christ, there is no optional parts. There are no appendices in the body of Christ. That sounds kind of funny. Anyway, no, every part is vital. We are the body of Christ. And so I don't want to hear this. It doesn't matter if I'm here. It matters. Did you know that today was Pentecost? Of course you didn't. Don't even pretend like you did. You saw the red, you saw the bulletin, and you said, oh gosh, not Pentecost again. I know. Most of us don't keep track of liturgical calendar. We don't say, oh, well, maybe we kind of have a general ballpark figure. Oh, it's Advent. That's going to be around Christmas this year. You know, we say something like that. Or Easter is going to be in the spring, most likely, or close there, somewhere around there. But, you know, Pentecost, you know, even, you know, Christmas we've got, right? Right? Okay, good. It's December 25th. Ring any bells? No, you're thinking the day after, you're thinking Friday after Thanksgiving. I know what you're thinking. Anyway, no, we got Christmas. But the lunar holidays are a little bit more difficult to figure out, so we just have to wait and somebody tells us. So Pentecost is way down the list, okay? But, you know, okay, let me just give you a quick history because this has changed in recent centuries. It used to be Pentecost was one of the top dogs, second only to Easter in importance. It was way above Christmas. So anyway, let me give you a quick history. Pentecost, the word Pentecost means 50th, as in 50th day. 50th day, it's a Jewish holiday, 50th day after Passover. Now, if you remember, as you reflect on the gospel tradition, and you think about the crucifixion of Jesus took place on what day of the week? Friday. Very good. We call that day Good Friday. Perfect. Okay. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Friday was Passover. According to John, it was the day before Passover. Well, we're not going to worry about that. We've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Passover is on Friday. Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after that. So Passover and Easter are closely linked, and therefore the celebration of Pentecost in the Christian church is associated with the practice of Pentecost in the Jewish community. So anyway, in the Jewish community, Passover was 50 days after Passover and celebrated the first harvest. The wheat wheat would take about 7 weeks to grow. They'd harvest it. They'd come to Jerusalem to celebrate. They'd bring the first fruits of their harvest and offer them to God at the temple. Over time, the agricultural festival evolved into a celebration of the gift of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. But the bottom line is, it was about God's providence. That you'd come and you'd celebrate, God is with us. God is for us. And we celebrate that. God, the sacred, orders our lives, as in the idea of the law. Well, it was with all this history and theology and thinking going on that the disciples gathered in Jerusalem in the upper room once again, 50 days after what happened at Easter, what happened on Good Friday. Jesus had been there with them. Everything was going great. The kingdom of God was breaking in. They were excited about that. They come to Jerusalem, and he's arrested. Then he's killed, and he's buried, and that's that. But then something happened on that Sunday that we call Easter, and the mystery of resurrection. You know, he's alive again. He's with us, but, you know, what does this mean? So for 50 days following Easter, they just kind of hunkered down, trying to figure this all out. So they were gathered in the upper room. Before they had had direction with Jesus, now they were just saying, how do we continue this work? Well, Luke describes something that happens on that Pentecost Sunday, or that Pentecost day. If you remember, the author of Luke is also the author of Acts. It was Luke, Acts. But the book was too big to travel together. It had to be separated for length of document. And the Gospels got hooked together, and then Acts got kind of pushed away from it. But same author. So the whole story here. So Luke tries to put into words what happened in that upper room that 50th day after Pentecost. Suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The imagery used by Luke, and I don't read the whole passage, Chad read it so well, it's fantastic images and language, intense. It's Pentecost language. That is, it's imagery used to convey the presence and power of the living God moving in the world. That defies words. You don't describe something like that, you just experience it. But Luke is trying to get it down for his readers. Ever since that book of Acts came out, Pentecost has been called the birthday of the church, ever since that day. And it's called the birthday of the church because whatever happened there in the upper room, the church found its reason for being, found its power. And they were driven out from Jerusalem after that into the world, all the way here to Pleasant Grove, all the way to the ends of the earth. And the message has been that, well, the same message that we hear at Advent, the same message we hear at Epiphany, the same message we hear at Easter. God is with us. Okay. Let me read something for you. I read it a minute ago. It's from the fourth gospel. It's also a Pentecost story. So if you have a trouble getting your mind around Acts chapter 2, listen to this. Same point, different words. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Remember the Greek word pneuma? And I said at the 9:45, like pneumonia, which that's not good. We don't want to talk about that. Pneuma, Greek for means spirit. It means wind. It means breath. Receive the Holy Breath. And Jesus blows on them. And then they immediately think to Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. That's Pentecost. God breathes in us. The Spirit of the living Christ animates us. Kabbalistic Judaism, the great mystic tradition of Judaism, has much to say about the mystical essence of God's presence, the holy that sears our lives each and every day. And this tradition teaches that at the beginning of time, the holy was broken up into countless sparks, which were then scattered across the universe and became embedded in each human being, a little piece. It holds that there is one of these God sparks in every one of us, a sort of what's called a diaspora of goodness, the eminent presence of the divine. I love that. I love that image. And we talk about being created in the image of God, stamped with the divine image. And that's profound for me. And you know, that's Pentecost language. That's what we're talking about here. And again, we try to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Presence is not to be codified, not to be confined in words. It's just to be experienced. But that's hard for us to do. We're Western minds. You know, we like to sort it out, get it figured out, knock it out. And so therefore, Pentecost is just something that happened way back then. We'll just wait till next year and celebrate it again. That's not what it's about. Pentecost is about allowing the presence of God to intersect our lives now, to transform our lives now, to make us into the body of Christ now. Okay. So many of us just write the story off. You know, and leave it in the past. And that's too sad, because what we're trying to do here at this church and other church is to allow God to move us, to allow God to shape us and to help us identify how we can live out our ministry. You know, what gifts do you have? That's what we're trying to figure out. Everybody here has one. No optional parts. Remember that. No optional parts. So when we stop each year at this part and we say, how is God breathing into my life? And how am I breathing that out into the world? God's Spirit. It's a difficult question. But it's one we must address if we think we are the body of Christ. And that is who we are. So what is your part? Now, even United Methodists can think in this way. I know it's tough. What part of the body of Christ has been breathed into you? Huh. Tomorrow morning, just try it one time. Again, wake up, say, I'm part of the body of Christ. Today, God is going to touch the world. Sacredness, goodness is going to touch the world through my life. Try it one time. Happy Pentecost. Thanks be to God. Amen.